Welcome to Talking to the Professors at Austin Health.
Hello. Welcome to the Austin Hospital's podcast series. I'm Professor Jeffrey Zajac. I'm head of the Division of Medicine here at the Austin and Professor of Medicine at the University of Melbourne. I'd like to introduce Professor Jonathan Seaborn, who is head of the Oncology Department at the Austin and also has an appointment at the University of Melbourne. Today we're going to talk about melanoma. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, Jeff.
Melanoma is a very common tumour in Australia, is that right?
It is.
So going out in the sunshine causes melanoma?
It's a major cause of melanoma.
And are there other causes of melanoma?
Yes, some people have an inherited predisposition to melanoma, and there are some melanomas that arise in parts of the body which are not sun exposed, but the majority of melanomas that we see are caused by the sun.
And is it the amount of time you spend in the sun, or what is it about being in the sun that causes the melanoma?
Yeah, I think that there's a fair bit of research been going on to try to understand that better. Clearly, there are people who spend their lifetime in the sun working out there, and they don't get melanomas, and there are other people who don't spend as much time in the sun and do. So it's not a clear-cut explanation. It seems that intermittent sun exposure is the thing that really puts people at risk. So people who perhaps spend their days indoors and then get episodes of sunburn when they go outdoors on holidays or on weekends are at greater risk.
And does suntan lotion work?
Suntan lotion helps to prevent burning. It's not at all clear that it prevents melanoma. In fact, there's some evidence that it may make things worse. I don't think it's the suntan lotion that makes things worse. I think what it does is that it encourages sun-seeking behaviour. People who put on sunscreen feel that they can then go and lie out in the sun, whereas once upon a time, if they got burnt, they wouldn't actually go and lie in the sun.
So put on the suntan lotion and stay inside?
No, that doesn't make an awful lot of sense either. The recommendation would be to avoid sun exposure during the critical hot part of the day and to use sunscreen to cover those exposed parts of the skin when you're going to be out there during those times.
And melanoma shows up as a little black mole that grows in size?
Usually black, but not always. Some melanomas are what we call amelanotic, which means they're not pigmented, and Sometimes they may be pink and may be raised like a little pink bubble on the skin, and people wouldn't necessarily recognise that as a melanoma. A dermatologist would appreciate that.
So if you've got one, the doctor will cut it out?
Surgery is the best way of curing the disease, and in the majority of cases, more than 90% of cases, surgery is all that's required and the disease is cured. That's for what we call thin melanomas. The problem is that some melanomas become more invasive, so-called thicker melanomas. If they're more than about a millimetre thick, then the risk of them getting down under the skin, spreading into the lymphatics or metastasizing through the bloodstream increases.
So the doctor cuts out the melanoma and then it's fixed. So why is there a problem?
So the problem is that the thicker melanomas can spread. And in a proportion of patients, perhaps 10%, there's a risk that the disease can spread to the lymph nodes and beyond the lymph nodes to other parts of the body. And when it turns up in the brain or the liver or the lungs, it's basically a fatal disease. And most of the treatments that are available are ineffective at curing it at that stage.
So how would you know if it had spread?
So the first sign of spread in most people is that the disease turns up in what we call the lymph nodes, the regional lymph nodes. So if you've had a melanoma on one of the limbs, that would be the lymph nodes in the groin or the armpit.
So they would swell up?
Or? They'd swell up, they'd become hard. There may be a noticeable lump. Sometimes they're not noticeable. Sometimes the doctor organises tests that are done at the time that the first melanoma gets turned up to investigate the lymph nodes. This might be an ultrasound test or something called a sentinel lymph node biopsy, where a biopsy is done of the draining lymph nodes, and the pathologist examines that carefully to see if there's melanoma in there. And that would be then, if it's positive, the sign, an early sign that the disease has spread.
And can you take it out wherever it is?
You can. That may not be practical, though. So, for example, if someone has a secondary melanoma that turns up in some other place, like the liver or the brain or the lung, if there's just one of them, it may be feasible to remove that surgically. And sometimes patients remain disease-free. That turns out to have been the only secondary that there was, but unfortunately that's not usually the pattern. The usual pattern is that when it spreads around the body it turns up in multiple places, and when that happens the disease is essentially incurable.
And What do you do if it is in multiple places? Is there any treatment?
So this is where research comes into the picture. There's all sorts of promising and encouraging results that are coming out of various aspects of research into melanoma to try and solve this problem, because this is the real nub of the problem as far as melanoma is concerned. There's a lot that's been done in terms of prevention. There's a lot being done in terms of early detection. But once the disease is spread, then you really need to try to find a way to fix it. And I can perhaps tell you about some of the things that are going on in that area, which are of particular interest to us and researchers at the Austin.
So the standard treatment doesn't work, the chemotherapy drugs? The
chemotherapy is not very effective. It can work in some patients. Perhaps 5 or 10% of people get benefit from chemotherapy, but the majority don't get any benefit from it at all. It's not particularly toxic, so it's often worth trying. Some patients are lucky enough to be in that 5 or 10%, and for them, you know, it's worthwhile. But for the majority of the others, we are looking for better ways of treating the disease.
So we need a different approach?
Different approaches, that's right. And there are two broad approaches that are being pursued. Now, the first is what we call immunotherapy. This is something that we're particularly interested in, and that's using the immune system to try to attack the cancer. This is done in a variety of ways, and we've been trialling some cancer vaccines. This is where you stimulate the immune system using a vaccine, much in the same way that you'd use the immune system to fight off diphtheria or whooping cough or prevent the flu. You'd use the immune system to be boosted against melanoma to prevent the disease from turning up again. This wouldn't be given to everyone who goes out and sunbakes. This would be given to people who've had a primary melanoma removed from their skin and is at high risk of the disease coming back again, to try to prevent it from coming back.
And have you got it to work?
So we've got a lot of clinical trial data which has been encouraging. And getting something to work can be considered at two levels. The first level is, can you stimulate the immune system to recognise the cancer? And the answer to that question is yes. So we can take blood from our patients and look at the lymphocytes, the cells of the immune system, and show that they're capable of attacking melanoma cells in the test tube. So at that level, it works. In terms of demonstrating that it saves people's lives, you need to do clinical trials, and those clinical trials are ongoing. There have been some very encouraging clinical trials in melanoma, but it's really too early at this stage to say that any of these things is an answer to the problem. I think the information is very encouraging, and I think we're on a path, and that path is going to lead to success, but it's far too early to say that we've succeeded at this stage.
Has there been any early evidence that you can shrink tumours in some patients?
Yeah, in some patients you can shrink tumours, and in these vaccine trials we've seen examples of that. The challenge is to not just shrink them, but to extend people's lives. And the reality is that getting a tumour to shrink on an X-ray is not the same as eradicating the disease altogether. And although there's been a lot of encouraging data and evidence, you know, based on things like X-rays which show shrinkage, that the real acid test of success is that somebody is cured, that their life is prolonged by the treatment. And that turns out to be more challenging than just seeing a shrinkage on X-ray.
And are there other approaches that can be used?
So the other really exciting area, which is an area where there's also been considerable progress in the last 2 or 3 years, is in an area called targeted therapies. Now, to explain this, I guess you need to understand a little bit about the way cancer works. Cancers are cells like any other cell in the body, and those cells have got pathways, what we call molecular pathways, which drive the various processes inside the cells. These are chemical reactions that tell the cell how to divide and where to go and how to behave. And in melanoma, it's been possible to identify the molecules that aren't working properly, which turn a normal behaving pigment cell into a rogue malignant cell.
So it makes the cells grow more or not die off enough?
Not die off, or to grow or to spread through the body to what we call metastasize, to form secondary tumours. And the molecules which are responsible for those things happening have been identified. Not all of them, but many of them. And people, especially in the pharmaceutical industry, are developing drugs which interfere with those molecular processes. So if you like, you can take a designer drug and interfere with one of the molecules that might be responsible for the melanoma. And there's a couple of different molecules that have been identified in melanoma which are appear to be really important in terms of driving the cell to behave in a malignant fashion. And when you use drugs that inhibit these processes, in a proportion of patients, a significant proportion of patients, we're seeing shrinkage of the tumours. Again, this shrinkage of the tumour doesn't necessarily mean that a cure has been achieved, but it's an important first step.
So do you think these drugs will eventually appear that control the growth?
Well, so the initial trials show that they are working, but they're not curing the cancer, as far as we can tell. In some patients they might be, but in many patients the results cause shrinkage, and then at some stage the tumour grows back again. And I think what's going to come, and it'll take time, is finding ways of combining these different forms of treatment to get a really durable result. So that may involve using several different drugs that interfere with molecules inside the melanoma cell, and it may involve using the immune system as well to mop up any cells that are left behind at the end of that process. And figuring out how to combine these drugs with the immune therapies will be the final way of dealing with this disease, but the process of getting from where we are today to there is going to take a number of years and a number of clinical trials to really test out these different approaches.
So do you think eventually we'll be able to treat melanoma like we can treat leukemia?
Yeah, sure. I mean, leukemia is not always cured either, and that's the problem.
But sometimes.
Isn't it? Sometimes it's cured, and sometimes melanoma is cured. The challenge is not to be able to cure some patients. The challenge is to be able to cure everybody, and I think that day will come, but it's going to take a fair bit of work from now to then.
All right, on that positive note, we'll stop. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Thanks, Jeff.
That was Talking with the Professors at Austin Health.